And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. And good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company, as always, on a Thursday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock for our Community Conversations program. We've really been enjoying the feedback from listeners over recent weeks on the guests that we've had. If there's someone that you'd like me to interview, or perhaps you're part of a community group, a not-for-profit, an organisation, anybody who's got a story to tell, maybe you're a muso, maybe you are a writer or something, would love to have you on the program and hear your story and to share it with people, well, from across the valley and across Melbourne and all over the place. I was in Melbourne yesterday and I could hear 99.1 as clear as anything as I drove along, which was fantastic. Well, it's been a big week. It's the 6th of May, would you believe? And it's been a great week. We had a fantastic interview last week with Bob Gannaway from RSL talking about the Australian Air Services League and the Rats of Tobruk and some reflections on Anzac Day. And if you missed that interview last week, it will be podcast, and I'd encourage you to have a listen. It was a terrific program around Anzac Day. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Rodney McHale, and we're going to be talking renewable energy and water wheel project and things that are happening in Yarra Junction and Warburton. So make a note of that for next week. Actually, in talking about this, there's all sorts of programs here on Yarra Valley FM, and we have to thank you, Robert. I know you're listening this morning because you've taken the initiative and you've set up a program on Monday at 4:30 and Tuesday at 12 noon. Don't listen to both, just listen to one of them, which gives a breakdown on all the things that are happening on the various programs during the week. So there you are. If you're a listener and you want to know what's happening during the week, that's the time to just tune in for a few minutes and find out. So, last week, Anzac Day, this week, May. Some of you will have celebrated May the 4th. May the 4th be with you or something like that for the Star Wars fan among us, which is absolutely fantastic. And I was sort of reflecting, Anzac Day, remembering back to people who had made the ultimate sacrifice and people that we should certainly not forget. And just reflecting on who are the most important people after all? Who are those people that we would consider the most important? Well, I suppose if we went back, earlier times, we'd talk about the village chief or the before times when we could read, all of us, or write, or knew much about medicine. Of course, it was the priest, it was the doctor, it was the banker, the people who had perhaps higher levels of education and had knowledge and expertise that the rest of us couldn't have access to. And perhaps there were some reasons for them being considered to be a little more important or something. But what about today? Who are the most important people in our community? I'm wondering what you're thinking right now. But for today, we are going to talk about, well, people in the community that really matter, because the theme this morning is everybody matters. It's not just a particular sector of the community. Every single person matters. And, well, there's no better person to talk about everybody matters than Megan Buntine. And I'm hoping, Megan, that we've got you all the way from, well, I've never been there. So Tennant Creek, I know it's up there somewhere. And you were just saying off air that you're heading to Daly Waters, and I've never been there either. So for listeners like me that haven't been there, you're zooming in. You better tell us where you are and why you're there, Megan.
Oh, hi, Bruce. Thanks. Yes, I'm at Tennant Creek, which is about 500 k's north of Alice Springs, I guess. And I'm here because I'm just working remotely for 3 months and having a bit of time out at the same time. So seeing a bit about beautiful countryside.
That's fantastic. And we're just delighted that you have somehow arranged to get into a place where you can zoom in. The reception's fantastic. We can hear you clearly and have a conversation. So that's great. We won't talk all morning about the Northern Territory and the amazing places I'm sure you're seeing. But this theme of everybody matters, Megan, I think it's really worth exploring when we talk about community groups and not-for-profits. And so, listeners, we've given you a little bit of structure this morning, and we're going to talk about the five R's. I know we used to talk about reading, writing, and arithmetic for the three R's in education, but these are the five R's for everybody matters. So the first R we're going to talk about this morning is a reality check. a bit of a reality check. And Megan, the reality is that that organisations just can't function without people, can they?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, at the end of the day, if we're going to achieve the purposes and the goals that we have for our organisations, we need people who are going to be able to, you know, be the manpower, I guess, or the person power, I should say, to help us to achieve those things. You know, and so important are the volunteers for our community organisations, because, you know, 99% of our little community organisations run on volunteer person power, and you can't underestimate how important that is, you know, the value that that brings to the organisation, and in turn the organisation adds that value into the community. So, you know, really at the end of the day, if you think about it, people are an organisation's most important asset. You know, we talked last time about financial resources. Well, you know, this is about the people resources.
We did. And if you missed the conversation about financial resources, that is also podcast here on our website. Well, actually, Megan, we checked last week. It's not quite there yet. So it must be coming. So watch this space. But people resources, do we value people enough, actually, Megan? You know, people listening right now, I'm sure many are involved in community groups, involved in service clubs, involved in organisations, involved in sports groups, as you say, mainly as volunteers. Do we value people enough?
Look, I think, you know, fundamentally we do, but sometimes maybe we don't show it. We're so busy and caught up in the day-to-day doing and achieving of whatever it is that we're there for, you know, whether we're a sports club that needs to put on an annual competition, or a scout group that needs to put on weekly meetings. We're very focused on achieving what we need to achieve, but I think we need to really make sure we build into what we do that feedback to the people who work with us. So we're giving them that pat on the back and, you know, saying thanks for all your hard effort, great job, well done. You know, we need to nurture and support our people so that we can get the best out of them and they can get the best out of their experience with us.
And would you say there's a strong alignment between doing just that and achieving the purpose and the mission of the organisation that they're actually involved with, Megan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you go back to things like your mission and your vision and your fundamental values of who you're about, it should all be wrapped around, doing something for people, achieving something for people, adding some value to the community. You know, if you think about even just basic things like that tenet of having respect for each other and treating each other appropriately, you know, it's about doing the right thing with your people again.
Yeah, fantastic. If you've just joined us this morning, you're listening to Bruce Argyle and Megan Buntine, and we're talking about, well, the fact that everybody matters. And we've just talked about the first R, which is a reality check to remember. I suppose there's another R. Remember that people are very critical, are essential for organisations. So we're going to come back and talk about the right selection, the second R. How do we match people? How do we put round people in round holes and square people in square holes and all of that? But let's get inspired by David Bowie with Heroes.
We're lovers, that is that.
And I'm Bruce Argyll, and you've joined us for our Community Conversations program. My very special guest is Megan Buntine, and Megan, at the moment, is up in Tennant Creek, zooming in. I didn't do a very good job of introducing you this morning, Megan. For those who haven't heard Megan on a program with me before, I should let you say yourself, Megan, but Megan's involved in supporting not-for-profits, community groups with governance, good governance, with strategic planning, training, workshops, fundraising, resourcing, making sure that community groups and not-for-profit organisations in particular, but not exclusively, are operating to their absolute capacity. And if you want to have a look at some of the resources and some of the supports that Megan can offer, go and have a look on her website, which is MJB Consulting, all one word, mjbconsulting.net.au, and you'll see free resources and go-tos and all sorts of things on there. Megan, it's absolutely wonderful to be able to connect with you so far away to places that I haven't been in Australia. I'm very envious this morning.
Isn't modern technology wonderful?
It is. I suspect things are a little warmer in Tennant Creek than they are here in the valley at the moment.
Yes, we had low 30s here yesterday, which was just lovely. But it sounds like you're having a nice week too.
Yes, we are. So wonderful autumn weather. We're enjoying the changing of the season here. And listeners, we are talking this morning about everybody matters, every single person matters, in particular in relation to community groups, not-for-profit organisations. Everybody matters. And we've talked about a bit of a reality check to just actually remind ourselves that organisations can't function without people. And now we're going to talk about the second R, which is the right selection. The right selection, getting the best person for the role. Where do we start there, Megan? How do we ensure that we have the right person in the right spot?
Well, I think first and foremost, you need to have an understanding yourself of what you're looking for and what you're wanting that person to do. So, you know, even for volunteer roles, I think it's really important to have even the simplest of position descriptions that really spells out what that person's required to do, because it gives them clarity around what they're expected to do, but also it gives them clarity before they even apply for that position, whether it's paid or unpaid. You know, what am I applying for here? What am I getting myself into?
We tend to do it for paid positions, Megan, but not for volunteers so often.
Yeah, and look, I think that's changing too. I think increasingly we're required to treat our volunteers more and more like a paid staff person, you know, whether it's around recruitment, whether it's around health and safety, whether it's around support on the job, all those sorts of things. I think we need to, the same good practices we would apply to anyone who we pay to do a job, we should apply those to people who do a job for us, but we don't pay. That's just as important.
So would that include a kind of an interview process then, Megan? Would you go that far?
Yeah, look, for some roles, I would do that. And, you know, even if it's as simple as catching up with someone for a coffee and having a chat and just really sussing them out. If it's somebody who you don't know, maybe be a bit more rigorous around that. I think certainly also, depending upon what the role is, there's probably a range of checks that you'd need to do. You know, it might be that you do a referee check of some sort. It might be that in your particular organisation you need to do a police check as well, or even if you're working with children, you might need to ensure that they have a working children volunteers check. A whole range of things. So make it applicable to what your organisation does, but make sure you do your good due diligence around getting the right people into your organisation. You don't want to find out down the track that you've brought someone in as a volunteer and they've got a police record of, you know, harming vulnerable people.
Yes. So, and we are going to talk for our next hour after the next song, Megan. We're going to talk about roles, so we'll leave that one for now. But let's go back to the right selection. So, how do we with a community group, with an organisation, how do we go about trying to find that right person? Is it word of mouth? Is it a little ad in the local paper? What's worked in your experience? I know you've had lots of experience with land care and health and boards and so on. What's worked?
I think it's all of those things. It's about using your networks, how can you connect in with the right people, putting it out there, whether it's on a community notice board or whether it's an online notice board, so that you're getting a broader reach of people. You know, you want to get some diversity into your organisation too. So how can you reach people who are perhaps going to come to your organisation with new ideas and different perspectives, getting those sort of people involved and adding value as well. So, you know, using whatever opportunities you can find to bring the right people, to get the word out to the right people to bring them into your organisation. And I think the other thing too is to ensure that they're clear about who you are as an organisation and what you represent. So, I mean, I bang on about this all the time, but things like your purpose, your values, your vision, your mission, making sure those are really prominent in all of your literature, on your website, whatever it may be, on your position descriptions that you use, so people know who am I getting involved with here. You know? So that way, if perhaps their values don't resonate with your organisational values, you both pick that up early on. You know, they sort of go, oh, well, this is maybe not the place for me, and you realise that maybe they're not the right fit for your organisation.
Because, Megan, I suspect you and I have both been at annual general meetings where someone has been shoehorned into a role. You know, oh, yeah, you can be Secretary Bruce, or, you know, you can be the Treasurer, or you can be the President. Sort of the last minute, oh, we've got to find someone to put in the slot. Does that still happen,
absolutely.
Megan?
Absolutely, it does. And I think that, you know, when we talk about succession planning really around those sorts of things, it's about being proactive, you know, doing the work ahead so that you know that the person you're putting up for that particular role is the right fit, that they are going to be able to do that role effectively, that they have got some, you know, runs on the board or some demonstrated experience around that tells you that they're going to be a good fit.
Yes, and we're presuming in the midst of all this that they've got time to do it as well, aren't we? So sometimes finding the right person is finding someone who has got the time to do it as well.
Yeah. And look, increasingly I think people's busy lives are getting in the way and they're not perhaps able to do as much volunteering as they have done in the past. I mean, Australia's still got some of the highest volunteering rates in the world, but it's still recognised that our volunteering rates are on the decline as well. So it's about, well, how do you capture the people who've got the capacity? You know, is it that you find the person who's a retired professional person who's got the skills, got the expertise, you know, bring them in, court them if you like, tell them how wonderful your organisation is and get them on board.
Fantastic. You're listening to Megan, and Megan is travelling at the moment, zooming into us from Tennant Creek, which we're really grateful about. We're talking about the fact that everybody matters in relation to organisations. Everybody does matter. We've talked about a reality check to remind ourselves of that. We've talked about the right selection. And after our next song, we're going to come back and talk about roles. You know, how do we just clarify what those roles are, who's doing what and where and why? But let's have a listen to Taking Care of Business.
Get up every morning for taking care of business. Taking care of business.
Every day.
Taking care of business.
Every way.
Taking care of business.
And after the 11 o'clock news this morning, we have Art Journal with Cora's on, and she has two special guests coming up, Shay Bannon and Jackie Christians, and they're going to be talking about the open studios that are happening this weekend, would you believe? This weekend, the 8th and 9th of May. It's for the whole of the Dandenong Rangers, open studios, and wow, 38 studios open. So there you go. If you are thinking about what you're going to be doing this weekend, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity, and you can hear all about it on Art Journal this morning after 11 o'clock. Wow, there you go. For right now, I'm talking with Megan all the way from Tennant Creek, and we're talking about the fact that everybody matters, particularly with community organisations, not-for-profit, well, with... Well, for-profit organisation, with any organisation, Megan, actually, everybody matters.
Absolutely. You know, I'm on a board for a for-profit age and disability service provider, and they've recently engaged a general manager of people and culture, and I think that just points out, and that's happening across, you know, the sectors. People, organisations are taking much greater focus, I think, on that sort of stuff because it is so important.
Hmm. If you've missed the program up till now, we've talked about a reality check to remind ourselves that people are essential for an organisation. We've talked about making the right selection, round people for round holes and so on. And now we're going to talk about the roles, the importance of clarifying roles, including, you know, what we expect, what are our expectations, what is going to make the role actually work. So, Megan, perhaps actually we might just backtrack just for a moment. We were talking about, bringing older people with experience into roles, but, of course, there's the other end too, Megan.
Yeah, look, I think as we sort of talked about, volunteering is on the decline, so we really need to have a focus on how do we engage younger people as well, because not only is it good for the organisation, it's good for the young person to, you know, build skills. Maybe it can lead on to employment even. A volunteer role could lead to employment for them, you know, and doing it in a way that is setting up both the person and the organisation for success, you know, giving them a more experienced person perhaps who can act as a mentor, who can guide them along the way. You know, there's internships. Some organisations I see are starting to take on interns to both help the organisation but also give the person some skills and something to put on their resume too, which makes them perhaps more attractive to a potential employer down the track.
Mm, mm. And often it does, in fact, do just that it does lead to employment opportunities. Megan, would it be true to say that perhaps things come unstuck because people are actually not clear on what it is that they are required to do, expected to do, where they actually slot in with the organisation? It's not actually clear, where they should be spending their time.
Yeah, look, I think that's a really important point too. And, you know, whether it's about giving people good orientation and induction at the outset when they first become part of your organisation, whether it's a paid or an unpaid role, giving them support along the way, particularly in the early days as they learn and get their head around what it is that they're supposed to be doing there. I mean, I think, you know, most of us are probably familiar with the idea of when we start a new job, we have a probation period for 3 months or 6 months or whatever your organisation might do. So, you know, taking that sort of approach where people do get a bit more support in those early days. And it also gives you an opportunity to really find out, well, is there that fit? Are we the square peg in the square hole and the round peg in the round hole? Or perhaps was there something that we missed in that initial process of getting people onboarded and interviewed and et cetera?
Mm. What I'm sort of reflecting on, Megan, just on the first three points we're talking about here, is that is that recruiting, selecting the right people, clarifying the roles, supporting them in those roles, and that it takes time. I hear this is something that takes time, and organisations need to commit to spending time in this area.
Absolutely, it does. But I think at the same time, it pays off tenfold, because if you get that person and you nurture them and you support them and they become a really valuable part of your organisation, there's so much value to come out of that, both for the individual and for the organisation. However, if you think about organisations where they have that churn, you know, it's like a revolving door of whether it's paid or unpaid people. There's a lot, as you say, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into recruiting someone. So if you lose someone, or you select someone who's not perhaps the right fit, and you have to go through all of that again, you know, get it right the first time and save yourself a lot of extra work having to repeat the process.
Yes. And what about, I mean, it must be difficult too, where organisations have to refocus and change directions, Megan, that sometimes we as people have to change where we spend our energy too. And so do you think that's also difficult sometimes for people to readjust, you know, to different ways of working?
Yeah, I think so. And look, it's really just good change management, isn't it? You know, making sure that if things do need to change within your organisation, that your people are part of that change. You're taking them on that journey with you. They're contributing to the how that change happens, what direction that you go, to whatever extent, you know, you have the capacity to have that input. You know, at the end of the day, I think good change management is about good planning, good leadership, and good communication. And, you know, if you can do that, take your people on a journey with you, they're more likely to embrace that change and go forward with you on that new journey.
Terrific. I'm talking with Megan, and Megan and I are just reflecting on the critical importance of people in organisations, that everybody matters. That's an important reality check, that we do have to have the right selection of people, and that we need to be really clear on what the roles and expectations for the role are. We're going to have a little break and then just have a song. Well, we've got to listen to the Beatles, don't we, sometime in the morning. And then we're going to come back and talk about the next R, which is respect. And Megan, I think that's the big R in many ways.
It is. It's the linchpin that holds it all together, I think.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And you've joined us this morning for Community Conversations and my very special guest, Megan Buntine, all the way from Tennant Creek, travelling around. And if you want to get a bit closer to Megan and find out all the resources that she has available for groups, go onto her website, mjbconsulting.net.au. Simple as that. There's some free resources on there, some go-to stuff, some of the things we've been talking about, Megan, as well, particularly for not-for-profit organisations, community groups, and so on. And you might just want to check that out. But for today, we're talking Everybody Matters. We're talking a big reality check that organisations can't function without people. We need to make the right selection. We need to clarify what the roles are for people in our organisation. And now we've come to the fourth R, the biggest R of all, respect. Why is it the biggest R of all, Megan?
Look, I think that respect is basically making sure we treat other people how we would like to be treated at the end of the day, isn't it? And, you know, I think one of the most common issues that I see when I work with community organisations that causes difficulties for them is that, you know, interpersonal conflict. Whatever causes it, it's, you know, differences of opinion or different perspectives on life, different value sets. So, you know, often it comes from a lack of clarity around, well, what are we here for? What's the purpose of our organisation? You know, people have different expectations. That's something that often causes difficulties. But it really comes down to you can have all those differences, but if you do it with respect, you can still focus on, well, what is the overall goal of the organisation? So let's work together to achieve that. And I think at the end of the day, it goes hand in hand with good leadership too, you know, as whether you're the president or the chair of the organisation or the CEO even, you know, a good leader sets the tone for the organisation. They lead by example and they role model respectful behaviour and respectful relationships. So it's got to come from the top fundamentally. And, you know, the committee or the board or whoever's governing the organisation, they really set that culture. And, you know, if you're part of that board or part of that committee, make damn sure it's a culture of respect that you're setting for your organisation.
That's just absolutely so true. And Megan, of course, we're not talking about wanting organisations that are all the same. I mean, it's often the diversity of the people in the organisation that gives it its strength too, isn't it? I mean, we're not wanting clones of the president or the chairperson, are we?
No, we're certainly not. You know, I think if we get too many of us that are the same thinking together, we'll just have a very bland, you know, single-focused approach to our organisation. So we do need people coming in with different ideas and different experiences and different perspectives. And, you know, that diversity is so important. Diversity in a range of ways. You know, it was interesting. I was on one board a few years ago and they started talking about diversity and all they were talking about was gender diversity, you know, males and females. It's like, right. Guys, diversity is way more than just that.
Yes.
So, yeah, getting everyone involved and, you know, doing that in a respectful way that we respect each other's differences.
Megan, one thing that you've highlighted to me over the years is the importance of organisations having a code of conduct, so that spells out, you know, the way we interact with each other. Do you want to just expand for people who perhaps are less familiar with what we call a code of conduct? What are we actually talking about here?
Yeah, for sure. So it's really just a document, a short document that spells out how we treat each other. Often it's underpinned by our organisational values. And, you know, even if you haven't gone through a process to articulate those formally, I think we still all know what we stand for, what's okay. But just getting something down on paper that you can give it to people when they come to your organisation as a new member or as a new volunteer or as a new staff person, and it really spells out from day one, this is how we behave, this is how we treat each other, this is what's expected, this is what's okay, what's not okay. You know, I think back to when I worked for the Department of Human Services many years ago, and our code of conduct actually went through those half a dozen values that underpinned it, and it went through and it talked about respect being one of them, for example. You know, what sort of behaviours demonstrate respect, but equally what sort of behaviours don't demonstrate respect. So it's spelling it out, really making it really black and white clear to people that this is okay, this is not okay. You know, you can't turn up to work affected by drugs and alcohol. You can't do a whole range of other things. You know, you must do X, Y, and Z. So spelling it out, you know, I often say, I mean, organisations come to me, even small organisations come to me and say, oh, you know, what policies do we need in place? What documentation do we need in place? And it's like, well, if you have nothing else, if you don't want to put too much in place, at least have a code of conduct. That should be your number one document that you have there, because going back to what I said about the common issues that I see stem from interpersonal conflict, if you've got that code of conduct in place, it's setting people up not to have that conflict because they understand how they're supposed to relate with each other.
Yes, fantastic. great words there, Megan, and you make it sound simple, but it's not so hard because we can Google these sorts of things these days, can't we? And
absolutely. Or, you know, worst case scenario, send me an email and I'll send just some templates and some examples.
There you go. There's a great offer, listeners. So we're talking about the importance of respect, critical to respect the diversity within the organisation, the differences that we have, that diversity is what enriches the organisation, but we do have to be really careful that we don't end up in conflict, Megan, and that the whole, well, in some cases, the whole organisation comes apart, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look, I think having a code of conduct is one thing, but you've got to make sure it's a living document. You've got to hold people accountable to that. So, A, they need to know it exists. B, they need to know that you're taking it seriously. And C, if people do things that breach that, they need to have it pointed out to them. You know, it's that old adage about the standard that you walk past is the standard that you accept. You know, if people are doing things that are not okay, you need to talk to them about that and explain to them why it's not okay. They may not have realised that what they did was perhaps not quite right. So, you know, give them the opportunity to fix it. And if it continues, you need to be on it as well.
We're talking this morning about the five R's of Everybody Matters in an organisation, and we've got just one to go. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't feel, well, valued perhaps, or recognised, or, oh, there's another R word, Megan. Recognition. How do we do that? How do we recognise the contributions, the important roles, the important parts that people play in our organisations? We're going to come back and wrap that up this morning, but let's have a listen to, well, very appropriately, Aretha Franklin talking about, singing about respect. And this morning we're talking Everybody Matters here on Community Conversations. And, wow, we've talked about the four R's, and those are a reality check, a right selection, the importance of knowing what our roles are, respecting each other, and now our final R this morning is recognition. Just what form does recognition take, Megan?
You know, I think we often think recognition means financial reward. So I think, you know, if you do a bit of a Google, you'll soon see plenty of research articles that show that while, yes, financial reward is a good thing, it's a short-term motivator. So if you can make people feel good, it's about the hearts and the minds, isn't it, taking people with you. So feel good's far more effective than effectively paying them off with some sort of cash incentive.
Even a thank you is often the bit that's missing.
Absolutely. You know, a simple, the words or acknowledging people, that sort of the idea of a pat on the back. You know, I had a manager once who, and I learned a lot from her in so far as recognising people with good work, and I took this with me going forward into working with staff that I supervise. But you know, you get a random little thank you card turn up in your pigeonhole after you'd done a particular project or tackled a particular difficulty or whatever, and I think she was probably the only one who I've ever worked with who did that recognition in that way. And I think that's a really simple, it's not expensive, but it's really meaningful,
and you still remember that right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, 20 something years later.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, we see often our organizations, they might have an end of year celebration where you sort of, you honour your volunteers and you make a bit of fuss of them, and you know, perhaps give them a certificate of recognition or thank you. It's worth thinking, though, and remembering that not everyone likes that. Not everyone likes to be put up on a stage and given a certificate. So it's important to find out the people who you work with, what resonates for them, what works for them, and trying to reward them in a way that is more meaningful for them. You know, the other day I Googled 101 ways to thank your staff. Seriously, you can find this stuff on Google. There's so many different ideas. So, you know, none of us should be wanting for new and creative and interesting ideas to be able to thank the people we work with.
And what I'm hearing you say, Megan, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be huge, you know.
No, absolutely. You know, it could be a bunch of flowers, or even, you know, things like a gift voucher. I see that commonly as well. But I mean, obviously, that's a cash thing as well. But you know, it's a small token of appreciation that lets people know, more so than just, you know, the day to day. Yeah, okay, we're doing what we're paid for, or what we, even if we're not paid, what we were put on for. We're just doing what we're expected to do. But sometimes it's good to acknowledge people that they're doing things the right way, and that you're grateful to have them there to do that for you. Because as we said at the start of the session, Bruce, we, you know, without the people, we're nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And what about, Megan, then, in terms of annual reports, you know, promotion about an organisation, a statement in relation to its purpose, the importance of volunteers within the organisation, et cetera. Is that part of this whole recognition?
Yeah, look, I think that an annual report is a good way to highlight some of the good work that people are doing. I think that sometimes it can be, well, if you highlight one person, somebody else might be left out. So, yeah. So how do you maintain that balance? But, yeah, I think it's a whole range of ways. It might be that you have stories that you capture of different projects or different activities, different things that are going on within your organisation, and you showcase them in a range of different ways. I once heard a saying which I quite liked as well, and it was to praise people privately. So in other words, you know, on a one-to-one, say, you know, great job, well done, but then leak it publicly. So rather than standing up in front of an auditorium and you know, putting the pressure on them, making them go red as a beetroot, you know, you tell people quietly in the background, you know, this person did this and it was a really good job, and it'll get back to them. And then
Megan, I can't believe it. We're out of time. If you want to know more, have a listen to the podcast again, or go on to Megan's website, mjbconsulting.net.au, and have a look at the resources there. We look forward to your company again next week for Community Conversations. Megan, safe travels as you go through Northern Territory. Thank you for Zooming in this morning and for sharing all of your wealth of knowledge with us.
You're most welcome. It was lovely to talk to you again.